In this chapter, number 3 here, it tells us of apostasy and a backsliddenness of a nation. And it tells of Israel's backsliddenness and the curse that God puts on them. And this is applicable to America, I do believe. You'll have to agree. Anybody that's a Bible believer this morning, anybody that's a Christian would have to agree that America is completely backslidden and out of the will of God. There's no way you can deny that. And I believe we're under a curse. I believe we're getting to a place where God is putting us under a curse. We're getting to that place where God is about to turn his back on us as a nation. I want to read just a little bit of this and show you where this applies to our country. In Isaiah chapter number 3, the curse on America. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator. And I will give children to their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because of their tongue, and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin. Listen to this. Declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have reward evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, and saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making and tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments and the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose and the nose jewels. He's talking about taking the riches away from them. And he said, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of stomacher, a girding, a sackcloth, a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Now, I believe that we're heading for a place in America, unless this nation repents. I believe we're heading into a bad area, people. I really do. Amen. I believe there's coming a curse on this nation. There is a price for forgetting God. Proverbs 14:34 said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 9:17 said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There's a price to pay. This nation was founded many years ago, and God has blessed it for the past couple of hundred years. God's blessed this nation like no other. If you'll look at history, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to take away his blessing pretty soon. 2 Timothy 1:13 said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." We need some old-fashioned preaching, and we need some faith in God to straighten this country out and turn it around. We need some old-time repentance. We need some faith in God and repentance and turning back to the Bible. I'm going to show you here what the Bible says, and look at this with me just for a few minutes. I want you to look at the first point I want to show you in verse 2. Our military in America has become weak. Verse 2, it said, "The mighty man and the man of war." It said, "The mighty man and the man of war." Our military has become weak. The Bible said, "Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen is for his inheritance." I began to think about this, and I was looking, I was doing a little bit of reading on this, and they say that John Bolton, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, told on the Steve Malzberg show on Newsmax TV that Obama previewed a questionable strategy to fundamentally transform America in his 2008 election. He said, "This military budget is part of that exercise," Bolton said. He wants to downsize the military quite apart from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He wants to leave his successors with a smaller American military, and he wants to spend more money on welfare programs at home. He wants to make our military smaller and make welfare bigger. In other words, he wants to make our Army and our Navy and our Marine Corps smaller and give out more food stamps and more welfare and make people stay at home and not work and get people more dependent on bigger government and make our military even smaller and make us weaker. Do you realize now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll watch the news and you'll keep up with current events, that the United States military is weaker now than it was 20 years ago? That's a fact. You look it up and you do some research. You'll find out they've downsized and they've cut back here and cut back there, and they've closed down bases here and closed down bases there, that our military has started becoming weaker and weaker. Amen. That's right. We have people getting onto the White House lawn regularly. Our Secret Service is starting to look like the Keystone Cops. Listen, the Secret Service lately have been having wrecks and running into barricades. They've been caught with prostitutes. The Secret Service is a joke. It's amazing. I mean, our Secret Service is letting people crash into White House parties, and the Secret Service don't even know what they're doing. I mean, it's amazing. Brother, not until this administration has security got like it has. I mean, airplanes flying over, right over the White House. A man flying a gyrocopter flies right into the Capitol, I mean right onto the lawn, and tourists stand there taking pictures. This guy's on this thing like a go-kart, a gyrocopter. Never in the history of the United States have we seen such a thing. You know why that is? Brother, that's a sign of the curse of God. Our military has got weak. I mean, our F-16, they asked the FAA, they said, "How could this happen?" They said, "Well, it's just a blur on a radar. We couldn't see it." Hey man, you know why that is? It's a curse of God. Brother, our military has become weak. The mighty man and the man of war, a multi-billion dollar system, cannot pick up a man on a go-kart with a fan flirting around, and he flies right down inside the White House. There's people jumping over the fence and running inside the White House nowadays. Our military is getting weak. You watch when they attack us, brother. You should be the strongest military, the number one military in the world. You know why we're over here, while the United States is doing all this crazy stuff? You realize now, today, right now, most of our motels and our stores, we're selling them to the Indian people, and we're selling our national parks and our national, all these stuff we're selling out to foreigners, and it's all being sold out. Our jobs are being outsourced. Everything in America is being sold to other countries. Other countries, we owe China billions of dollars. Hey, brother, everything, America's being sold out from under us while we're partying and having a good time, sitting around watching television and playing with their phone and playing with their computer. We don't even know what's going on right under our noses. Our military is getting weak. Our president wouldn't salute the flag during a Fort Hood ceremony. His administration Hey, listen, they're killing Christians almost daily. The Muslims are. And he'll get on national television and won't even call it an act of terrorism. And he defends the Muslim religion. He says, we're not at war with Muslims. I got with Islam. But I got news for him. Islam is at war against us. Amen. He talks about the Crusades and how Christians killed people thousands of years ago. I got news for him. This is 2015. But this ain't got nothing to do with then, with back then. This has to do with right now. The reason he's doing those things is because he's a full-blooded Muslim himself. Amen. Amen. When the Muslims kills Christians, he refuses to acknowledge it. And if we get Hillary in, she's going to be one of the biggest liars in Washington, and already is. I mean, brother, It's amazing how crooked her and her husband, and you just watch the news, and they've got so many scandals, and that the organization they're tied in with, the Clinton Foundation, and how much money they took donations from foreign countries, and all that crookedness that's tied into it, and people will still walk into a booth and check her name and vote her in as president of the United States because of her gender. You're right. Secondly, I want you to look at the next part there where it says, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge. Secondly, I want to say the Supreme Court ruling to kill babies and siding with sodomites against God's will. The judges, I want to say this is your hour, judge, you Supreme Court justices and judges. Hey, they've destroyed over 30 million babies since 1973. That's more than 20 times the number of soldiers killed in all the wars in the United States. That's 4,300 times a day. They say, well, it's my body. I can do what I want to with it. What about that little baby inside there? It's got that little heartbeat, and it's got a little brain, and got a little fingerprint, and a thumbprint, and blood coursing. What about his rights? What about her rights? Brother, somebody needs to speak up for him. Somebody needs to speak up for her. I want to tell you what, brother. There's a God up in heaven's keeping a record. Brother, I want to tell you those Supreme Court justices wearing those black robes, one of these days, bless God Almighty, they're going to stand before a just and a holy God, and they're going to give an account. Listen, brother, I know that our church won't fill up because I'm preaching like this, but I'm telling you, brother, I'm going to have to give an account to my God for not telling the truth. If I don't preach this, brother, listen, they're going to have to face a mighty God someday. That's right. All those that hate the traditional Bible-based value system, they're going to have to face God, the Supreme Court. Just this week, they had a Supreme Court case coming up. Had to do with the homosexual issue. And what's so hypocritical about it is a couple of those Supreme Court justices has performed same-sex marriages. Now, how can that be fair? Isn't that a conflict of interest? Shouldn't they recuse themselves? Two of those women on that Supreme Court bench have performed gay weddings before. And I mean, you know, that's just not, that don't even make sense. Amen. Brother, the judge, that's what he says. The next point I'll say, number three, he goes on down there and he says, here in the prophet, I'll show you another reason why we're under a curse. Preachers no longer take a strong stand and cry aloud. Pastors have become soft and scared and sissy-like. Brother, I'll tell you, I just don't know when. I've heard preachers preach like they used to. He said the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. Ancient means old time, old fashioned. Preachers just don't ride back and preach anymore. I'd give anything if I'd get in my truck and just hit a button and it'd scan across there and it'd stop on a station and you'd hear a man just ride back sucking in air and preaching all time, Holy Ghost filled Bible preaching. I mean sin killing, heaven sin. I mean Bible preaching, God loving, devil hating. I mean skin to hide preaching from heaven, brother. I'm talking about rear back on your dew claws, brother. I mean blood veins bulging on your neck, eyeballs poked out. I mean preach the living daylights out of them, brother. We need old time Bible preaching in this hour. 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. He didn't say anything about sharing anything with them. He didn't say anything about sharing and coping and feeling and see how you feel and talk to you. He said, preach the word. He said, preach, preach, preach. He said, John was a man sent from God. He came preaching. We need preaching. I'm about tired of hearing sissy preaching. Some of them men, I think they ought to scan them and see if they're wearing lace drawers.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Honest to the Lord, people. Whatever happened, old time when men were men, and bless God, they'd get up and preach and wasn't afraid of man or devil. And just let her rip, brother. Regardless of the outcome, just preach to people.
Amen.
Men and women's dying and going to hell. Boys and girls are throwing their lives down the toilet and preachers won't preach. Men and women's lives are wrecked and ruined. Families and homes are falling apart and preachers get up and tell stories. Amen. Read out of a book that ain't even a Bible. What in the name of God's happened to this world? That's why America's going down the tubes. That's what's wrong with this nation. Preachers, don't preach anymore. We need some preaching. Give me some preaching any day of the week.
Amen.
Amen. I could care less for this soft, smooth. Amen. Loosen up your tie, brother.
Amen.
Take your coat off, roll up your sleeves like you're getting ready to get in a fight with a Tasmanian devil and let her rip.
Amen.
I like it when a man preaches so hard he can't hardly talk when he gets done.
Amen.
I mean, when I was a little boy, my daddy preached so hard. When he walked to the back of the church, you could hear his shoes squish. He sweated so much. That's the truth. I ain't making that up. Daddy was wringing wet. He looked like he had jogged 10 miles on a hot summer day. It didn't have air conditioning back in.
Amen.
It was just hot in the old church and the windows up and you'd be fanning flies with one of them funeral home fans. Daddy'd be preaching his guts out.
Amen.
Preach about air. He'd just turn blood red. His eyes would be glowing like a Christmas light. He'd be letting it rip, boy. He is wringing wet, just dripping and running off of him when he got through. His shoes would be squishing. He didn't run back to the back and put on a polo shirt and a little jacket and prance back out there like a little sissy. He just went and got in the car, took off down the road back to the house. And Mama had some fried chicken in the oven ready for dinner. Amen, bro. That's the way them old-fashioned preachers used to do it, bless God. No matter of fact, he'd leave that and go to the radio station and preach again. And then leave that and go out on the street and preach. And then go home, Mom, and have dinner ready. That's the way they used to do it back then. Instead of acting like a bunch of sissies. He didn't go check his Twitter, see how many followers he had. Oh, my Facebook and my Twitter. Bless God, he Twittered them. He Twittered their ears back when he was up preaching. I got your Twitter, buddy, right here.
Amen.
Put your seatbelt on your helmet because I'm going to give you a Twitter.
Yeah.
We need some preaching. Real honest to goodness. I mean, real preaching ain't interested in social standing and popularity or pleasing anybody but God. That's why them old-time preachers were. Just ran back and preached. Preacher so-and-so don't like it. Well, they can lump it then. I've seen people get up and walk out while they was preaching. Amen. They'd say, well, some of them look better going than do coming. Daddy was up preaching one. He was up on the stage with this old preacher one time. This big old heavyset woman got mad and got up and walked out. Preacher reached over and punched Daddy. Somebody else was singing. He said, preacher, look at that. I said, we're losing the biggest one we had. That's what he said. Daddy said, let her go. Amen. They didn't run after him, beg her to come back. She wants to leave, let her go, brother. If she wants to come back, come on. Amen. Tell the blessed good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach life short, eternity long. Hell's hot and heaven's sweet, brother. I mean, tell it like it is, brother. There ain't no use messing around with anything else. Amen. Look what else he said there. Honor, integrity is gone. Look at verse 3. The captain of 50 and the honorable men. I want to tell you, great men are gone. Great men are just gone. I'm just going to preach a while now. I'm just getting started. Great men. He said the sign of a curse would be when honor and integrity are just gone. Do you know back in the old days, a man would shake your hand and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Well, I'll buy this land for such and such and I'll pay you so and so. And they'd shake their hands. They didn't sign 150 documents and go to 10 lawyers. They'd shake their hand. Your word was as good as your bond. Man was as good as his word. A handshake did it. Great men. 94% of the writings of the founding fathers of the United States contain quotations from the scriptures. Amen. Now listen to this. Quote, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson, President, 1781. Unquote. Here's another one. Quote, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington, our first president, unquote. Quote, the Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 34th president, unquote. Within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems men face. The Bible can touch hearts, order minds, and refresh souls. Ronald Reagan, 40th president. From the earliest days of Americans' histories continuing right up to now, the Bible's played a prominent role in American life. But in the last 20 or 30 years, we watched it go downhill. Quote, that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Andrew Jackson, 7th president, unquote. And the list goes on and on and on. But on the last few years, we hadn't heard great quotes about the Bible. Our president we have now said the sweetest sound I've ever heard is the prayer of Islam late in the evening. That's what he said. That's what he said. This is what men are acting like now. The man that said that, the man here a few weeks, a couple months ago, did you hear about that guy that landed, this scientist landed a satellite on a comet as it flew by the earth. Y'all remember that? This guy was such a genius. He landed his satellite on a comet as it flew by the earth. Now, that takes some smarts to do that. And he got on television and did an interview, and he had a T-shirt on and had a woman on there with a bikini on. And some women got offended and wrote him a letter and said, I can't believe you'd do something like that. Now women won't get into the NASA space program. And he came back on TV the next day and was crying and said, I can't believe I did something so offensive. And said, I'm so sorry. He said, I don't know what to do or know what to say. I thought, get a grip. Be a man. Grow a backbone, son. Amen. It's just a shirt. One woman wrote him a letter, and all of a sudden he wasn't a man no more. He turned into a sniveling baby. That's right. We're living in a land where men are not men anymore. Listen, I was reading up about some of our former great men. John Leland was a great Baptist preacher, and he helped form the Bill of Rights, helped Thomas Jefferson. These men were great statesmen. Did you know that General Petraeus, that was in charge of all of our overseas activities, y'all hear about him last week? General Petraeus, great general of Afghanistan, all the activities over in Afghanistan, guess what happened to him? Something like 2 years probation and $100,000 fine for leaking information, classified information to a woman he's sleeping with that wasn't his wife. That's what's happening. Amen. Honorable men, we don't have them anymore. Amen. Did you know Robert Lee was such an honorable, dignified character that his four daughters wouldn't even get married? Yeah. They couldn't find a man that's close enough to their daddy. Yeah. Every suitor that came along, nah, you're not good enough. You're not like my daddy. That's true stuff. Yeah. They said it when Robert E. Lee, he was such character and integrity. You ought to read that surrender thing, him and Grant. Read it sometime. Get on the internet and read it. Now when he surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse, it was a house, a man's house in Virginia. Now when he surrendered, he'd been fighting for weeks and he was out there in the woods, been fighting. Some of these men had starved to death. They had killed their mules and ate them. They're starving to death. It was horrible conditions. And he finally surrendered. Some stuff had happened and one of his generals didn't make it through and got trapped in there and they got this big fight. And finally, after about a week of notes back and forth to Grant, he finally surrendered. And they said when he come into that house, there's a bunch of soldiers in there and outside. And said Grant was there and said he had on muddy boots and disheveled looking and just looked like he'd been in a fight. They said when Robert E. Lee rode up on his horse, said his horse was groomed. Robert E. Lee stepped off of his horse, said his beard was trimmed, said it looked like his uniform just come from the cleaners. And he'd been at war for about 2 or 3 weeks out in the woods. And his boots looked like he'd just been polished, spurs, silver spurs. And he walked up on them steps. And they said even the Union soldiers had chills run up their spine because they knew they was in the presence of a real somebody special. And he walked in there and he sat down and they talked over the terms of the surrender. And they began to sign documents. And he walked back out on the porch. And they fed his soldiers and let them keep their sidearms and their horses. And they said even the Union soldiers saluted General Lee. They said they knew they was in the presence of somebody special. That's a great man right there. A great man. Hey, I'm telling you, brother and sister, it's different from what it used to be. It's a different world than what it used to be. That's a sign we're under a curse. Nowadays, every time you turn around, you hear something horrible. You say, well, I really look up to that man. Listen, here, just not long ago, a few years ago, used to live in South Carolina, I mentioned a while ago, you know, Mark Sanford, but some of us knew him, my kids knew him personally, not real well, but they knew him and met him, and we knew some of the people that didn't know him. What happened to him? Got caught up in an affair. And then he turned around and got voted back in office. And the way it looks like you can do that stuff. People don't care. And character and integrity means nothing to people anymore. Amen? Everybody still with me? Number five, oppression. Oppression. Well, the Bible tells us here, and the people shall be oppressed in verse 5. According to the National Mental Health Association, depression strikes about 10 million Americans within a six-month period. People didn't used to be like that. When I was growing up, when y'all was growing up, did you ever hear about anybody being on depression medicine? I never heard of it. I never heard of anybody being depressed. What are you talking about? What does that mean? So-and-so's depressed. When I was a kid, I heard about a woman having a, every once in a while I hear about a woman having a nervous breakdown. I didn't know what that was, really. First time I ever heard of breakdancing, I thought it was the same thing. And kids are breakdancing. I thought it was the same thing. They lost their mind and went to the hospital. I saw them doing it, and I did think it's what it was. Yep, they lost their mind. The Bible said, and they showed, amen, oppression. Next, I'm going to move on to the next one. Oppression. And the next one also, and they show their countenance as witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. The sin of Sodom will not go unpunished in America. Amen. A U.S. president on May 9, 2012, in an interview at the White House with ABC News, President Obama declared his strong support for gay marriage, making him the first U.S. president to back gay marriage while in office. It's never been done before. Never been done before. Amen. God will judge America for this sodomy thing that's going on. Sodomy violates natural law. Amen. Marriage is not just any relationship between human beings. Natural laws. Amen. Sodomy always denies a child either a father or a mother. I went through this just last week in Sunday school. It changes the terms to same sex, but it's still a sin. Amen. That's right. I'm gonna tell you something, brother and sister. This thing's snowballing really fast. Amen. Sodomy is wicked. It's against God. The Bible said that a man lies with man, as with woman. It is against God, and it is abomination. Now listen to this. Here's what Matt Lauer won't tell you, or George Stephanopoulos, or Anderson Cooper, Oprah, or Doogie Howser, Ellen DeGeneres, Elton John, Rosie O'Donnell, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, SportsCenter, Saturday Night Live, Letterman, almost every movie star in Hollywood except a good old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher that everybody thinks is out of his mind. None of them will tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. The media portrays homosexual relationships as a monogamous, loving family environment, but according to the Institute for Sex Research, the average homosexual will have between 300 and 500 sex partners in their life. No normal person has that many partners. And 28% of male homosexuals admitted to having sex with 2,000 partners. According to a new study which analyzed 25 earlier studies regarding sexual orientation and mental health, homosexuals and bisexuals are about 50% more likely than their heterosexual counterparts to suffer from depression and abuse drugs. The median age of death, listen to this, of lesbians is 45. Think about that. The median age, the average age of lesbians is only 45. Only 24% live past age 65. For some reason, they don't live long. The median age of death of a marriage heterosexual woman is 79 years old. Homosexuals are 100 times more likely to be murdered, usually by another homosexual, than the average person. See, they make it look so normal. You see them on TV. Did you know most of your newscasters on morning TV shows, there's one on just about every one of those news shows. Today, Good Morning America, they got them on just about every one of them. Amen? Robin Roberts, they got one on the Today Show. On several of them, they got homosexuals. They got them on The View. There's one or two of them on there. They make it look normal. It's so normal. It's nothing wrong with being gay. Look at them. They're normal. Elton John and his lover, they're normal. The guy that plays on what I mentioned a while ago, Doogie Howser, him and his husband, they look normal. All them, they're normal. They're not normal. It's abomination. They're 25 times more likely to commit suicide and 19 times more likely to die in a traffic accident. About 50% of the women on death row are lesbians. Homosexuals prey on children. This is a fact. 33% of homosexuals admit to minor adult sex. That makes me want to throw up. There's a notable homosexual group. You can look this up on the internet if you've got a strong stomach. This has been around for a long time. I studied this out 15 years ago. Consisting of thousands of men, but it's known as the North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA. This is a child-molesting homosexual group whose cry is, sex before eight, before it's too late. This is serious. This is a real outfit. This group can be seen marching in most major homosexual parades across the United States. You still think it's normal to be two people to love each other and have a normal two gay people to love each other and just be normal? It's not normal. Amen. Homosexuals commit more than 33% of all reported child molestations in the United States, which, assuming homosexuals make up 2% of the population, means that one in 20 homosexuals is a child molester, while one in 490 heterosexuals is a child molester. That puts it in perspective, people. 73% of all homosexuals have had sex with boys under 19 years of age. Even today, homosexuals account for well over 50% of the AIDS cases in the United States, which is a large number considering that they account for only 1 to 2% of the population. It's pretty deep right there, brother. Amen. Y'all still with me? I'm still preaching. I got something else on the cover here, and I'm going to let you go in a minute. All right, number 7. Look at verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women shall rule over them. People have lost their ability to raise children in America. People don't know how to raise kids. They can have them. Do you know it takes a permit to do everything? You have to have a permit to go fishing. You have to have a permit to go hunting. You have to have a permit to build a chicken house. You have to have a permit to do anything, but you don't have to have a permit to have a kid. You should have to have a permit or a license to bear a child, I think. You don't have to go through a course to have kids. Any crazy idiot in the world can bear children and bring a youngin' into the world and don't even know how to raise them. You don't have to go through a course. Crazy people have kids and don't even know what they're doing. Amen? Hey, people don't know how to raise kids. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it. Amen. How do people end up with rebels? They let the influence of the world raise their kids. They're too busy to train them. They let their kids reflect their own lifestyle, smoking, drinking, sexual promiscuity, too much Hollywood, too much television. They refuse biblical training. They wait till it's too late to begin training. They're reaping what they sowed. If you want to train up a child, you start start when they're babies. Amen. So I asked my wife one time, I said, when do I start training my child? She said, when they're in the crib and they start pulling up and reaching. That's when you start with them. Amen. You
start when they're babies. Don't wait until they're 2 or 3 years old. Amen. You start training. The Bible said, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him deep time. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Listen, you can drive it out of them, brother, and you can train them. You can get their attention, you can train them. And once you train them, listen, you don't have to beat a kid all the time. If you train them and correct them when they're real little, then as they grow up, they'll have respect and honor and character and integrity all throughout their life if you start when they're real small. You can tell a 20-year-old child how they're raised when they're little. Children are their oppressors. I'll tell you how to do it. You watch any TV show, any movie. The child is in charge of the home. They boss mom and daddy around. They sass mom and daddy. And mom and daddy just always runs after the kid. What does he want? What can we do for him? Sit down, talk to him, reason with him. That's backwards. Now, I'm going to share something with you I shouldn't tell you. I don't know if my kids even know this, but before I got saved, I ran around with some guys that were really bad people. I ran around with some guys that were devil worshipers. One of them slept in a casket at night, and another one had a boa constrictor he walked around with around his neck. And them guys, in order to be a Satanist, you had to learn to do everything backwards. Walk backwards, talk backwards, sing backwards, learn the alphabet backwards. It's spooky. I never done none of that. And that's what's going on in America. They're doing everything backwards because the devil's in charge. Everything's backwards. The family's backwards. Kids in charge, and mama's in charge of daddy. Daddy's at the bottom. Daddy's here, and then the kids, and then here's mama. So the kids are in charge. Kids telling everybody in the house what to do, and mama caters to the children. And daddy has no authority whatsoever. Daddy just asks mama, what do you want me to do? You just go shut up and go sit down over there, okay? And daddy does what mama says. And then mama does, well, ask what the kid wants. That's exactly every sitcom, every movie, every TV show you look at, you mark it down. Come back and tell me if I'm telling the truth. So people watch all that craziness, and that's how they raise their families. They don't raise their families the way the Bible says to raise your kids. Daddy's the boss. Daddy's in charge. And then mama's next in line, and mama submits herself to daddy. And then the kids listen to mama and daddy. Whatever mama says, tells the kid, daddy backs her up. Whatever daddy says, mama backs him up. Amen? That's exactly right. What girls need discipline. Girls need, they didn't know what work means. Every girl needs to learn how to clean house, cook, wash dishes, tend to a baby, iron, balance a checkbook, and do laundry. Amen. Most girls don't know how to do that. You know what girls know how to do nowadays? Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's what girls do. Right? That's right. They need to know about boundaries. Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Girls need discipline. They need disappointment. Amen. It ain't going to kill them. Girls need to learn the hard way. That's right. I'm hurrying. Girls need discretion. They need self-respect. No one but her husband should see certain parts of her body. I know people hear that and they say, preacher, you're crazy. Maybe I am. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Isaiah tells us that the thigh is nakedness. Girls shouldn't run around showing their body. That's right. Girls need direction. Tell you what boys need. Boys need sobriety. Go home and read Proverbs 23. Boys need self-control. Every father should sit and read this with his son or his son periodically. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7. Every boy needs stability with parents and with his siblings and with others. Every boy needs sacrifice. Boys need not to learn. A boy needs to learn that everything's not related to himself. He needs to learn self-defense and self-denial and self-discipline. If he's self-absorbed, self-centered, self-indulgent, self-serving, self-fulfilling, self-gratifying, someday he'll self-destruct. Amen. He needs to learn a skill. Every preteen boy should know how to mow grass and use a weed eater and check oil and change a flat and clean a fish. Amen. And shovel poop. That's right. That's exactly right. Work. Every boy should know, every young man should know a skill. Know how to work. Know how to do some stuff.
Well, preacher, you done got to meddling now. I know. Well, y'all want me just to give up and quit? Well, last thing I want to look at here is, he said there, women shall rule over them. My people, they which lead thee, shall cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now, I'm going to say something here. Women, I'm not diminishing women at all. I love women. I married one. My mama was a woman. But men and women are not the same. If a woman got the same job as a man, she should get paid the same. But a woman and a man are two different things, two different creatures. I can prove this. It's easy to prove. In sports, you have, for example, you have golf, you have PGA, and you have LPGA. Golf is the easiest sport they are. I can't play it. I'm not saying anybody can play it. It takes a skill. But you dress up to play golf. You don't wear pads. You don't wear a helmet. You're dressed up, wearing a cute little cap. And you got somebody that carries your bag for you. Somebody drives you in a little car. Somebody pulls your golf club out of hands and tells you which one to hit with. Now, if men and women were equal, why don't men and women both play exactly the same? They don't, because they have a men's and a women's. They're not equal. See what I'm saying? Men are stronger. It's different. Y'all with me? Now don't fly and get mad. I'm saying it's a sign of a curse on a nation when women begin to be leaders. I know some people won't like it. Please don't sit down and write me a hate letter, because I'm not going to read it. Amen. At the end of last year, a survey revealed that 39% of women who work full-time earn more than their partner. I wish mine did. I'd welcome it. I don't mind. There's been times that Debbie made more money than I did. It didn't hurt my feelings. That means that 1.8 million women in full-time work across the country now earn more than their partners. These figures are both important and potentially critical. They indicate a very real change sweep in the professional ranks of 20-something men and women. And these changes affect men and women in all areas of life, from the bedroom to the boardroom. Women are becoming more dominant. Y'all see what I'm saying? You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that in the last 50 years, it's not Leave It to Beaver anymore, I Love Lucy, or Andy Griffith Show anymore. It's a woman-dominant society. It is a sign of a curse on a nation. Women are stepping up and taking the reins that men used to have. Amen? Women used to stay at home and rear the children. Men went out to work to earn the money. It was, in many senses, a simple world. Now, here's what I believe. I believe when women stayed home and men went out and worked, you hardly ever heard of affairs, because women was home. Women got out in the world where all the men was. You started mixing. The men and women was mixing. Your woman was at home. She wasn't out there with some other man, working with some other man. Amen? We're simply saying they're different. God holds women in a high standard. The only thing that God said wasn't good in the Garden of Eden was, he said, it's not good that man be alone. I'm going to make a woman for him. And he blessed him with a woman. I don't want to be without one. That's why I made mine stay home this morning, because she is sick. I said, you don't need to go. Stay home. Amen. That's how much I love her. Listen, I'm not saying there's anything bad about women, but God did not mean for women to lead men. And if you can take a Bible, not your opinion, not political correctness, not what you think, not what your grandma thought, or not what Hillary says, but take a Bible, prove me wrong, you're welcome to do so. I'm talking about biblically. Amen? Women can play a sport. Men can play a sport. They just can't play it with men. Last year during the Little League World Series, had this little girl playing. Y'all remember that? She was pitching. She was pitching good, but she was pitching just like any little boy was, but they made a big deal of it because she's a little girl. I told Debbie, I said, give her about 2 more years. She won't be playing with them little boys anymore. Them little boys start growing up. Now he's about 13, 14 years old, she'll have to go play something else. She can't compete with them. Y'all still with me? Y'all still Bible believers? I'm just preaching what the Bible says. Amen. Women, the Bible said right here, children
shall be their oppressors, and women shall rule over them. Women are trying to become men. There's so many good women in the Bible and in the church, Lydia and Mary and Martha, the story of Ruth and Naomi, Abigail and Esther. Even church people get caught up in it and don't even realize it. I remember a few years ago, in the last election, Sarah Palin came out and everybody just got so excited. I mean, I liked her too, but I'm sitting there thinking, I ain't going to vote for her. I ain't going to vote for her. She's a woman. You can't vote for a woman and be serious, because that's against the Bible. Amen. What about Deborah? Judges 4:9 says, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera. She even said this unto the hand of a woman. She even knew that it was a sign of a curse for him to be sold unto the hand of a woman. See, the devil likes the gray area. 50 shades of it, you see. Political correctness will take a country a long ways, and a church a long ways, and a family a long ways if you'll follow it. If you'll follow it long enough. And I'll show you how soft it'll make you get. Watch this. I'm going to close. And I'm going to show you what a curse will do to a nation. The sin of Sodom and all this stuff I've been preaching on. This past week, Ronnie, come on. This past week, they had that guy on trial for the bombing of the Boston Marathon. You remember that? They had his sentence sent up. I don't think they decided anything yet. And I saw him interview the mom and daddy of the little boy that got killed, that one little boy. And they don't even want him to get death sentence. That's the feminizing of a nation. We become a feminist nation. We're so soft. We're so soft. God said, according to his law, we're supposed to, God believes in capital punishment. We're supposed to do away with murderers. We're supposed to kill them. That boy's mom and daddy said, well, I don't think we should put him to death. He said, I think we should blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, it's not about revenge. It's about doing the right thing. A life for a life. He should pay with his life for taking his life. And they were, well, we think that's not the right thing to do. Well, what is the right thing? Why don't you tell me what the right thing is? They said, well, he'll be made a martyr. He wants to be made a martyr. Well, I don't care what he thinks. And everybody they interviewed in Boston, nobody up there in Boston wants him to be executed. We've become a feminist society. And they want the police to shoot people with rubber bullets and all that. And it's going to get to a place where the cops won't even be able to carry a gun. Amen. Telling you, you watch. The feminizing of America, that's where we're getting to, people. You talk about taking our guns, they're going to take the cops' guns. Jeremiah 4:31 said, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. Well, Psalm 80:3 said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Only hope we got as a nation is if we'll turn to God. And the only way that's going to happen is if God really, really gets our attention. I know I said some controversial stuff here, and there'll be people who get mad at me, and there'll be people, some of y'all might have got mad, I don't know. But if you can take the Bible and show me where I'm wrong, that's fine. But if you get mad at me just because you think, you know, women's stronger than men, or you don't agree with what I said about homosexuals, that's your problem. But your opinion don't matter, mine don't matter. I got opinions about everything, but that don't mean nothing. So you got to go by what the Bible says. God has an order for all things, and we got to follow that order, and we haven't followed it. America has took the Bible, just thrown it out, and said, we want to do it our way. And so now we're going to have to pay unless we repent. Let's stand.